Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 300th. Sounds very weird and odd to say that episode of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing very, 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 very well. Hopefully, based on yesterday evening, as far as result goes, okay, I think most of us, Andy, would have taken a draw. But after having like watched everything unfold, I think we all feel a bit hard done, much like Jose Mourinho does, or much after he said after the match, and much like most supporters said after the match. Very quickly, though, I promise, 300th episode, I feel we have to at least make some sort of mention of it. It blows my mind that, A, there are enough people that make this worthwhile for us to make 300 of these.
Sure.
B, you and I looked back before we started recording, and you started coming on regularly, like before 100.
I came on if you, like, I think it was like 30 something.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I guess I can't believe how many of these we've done. It's very odd. This whole thing is odd to me. All of it. Website, podcast, the fact that we have enough people that, again, make this worth doing. I said this to you before we started recording. Like, this past year is when podcast and the website have finally, you know, I'm not going to say got popular, but started to, and I won't say blow up either like the kids do, but we'll say it got, became more notable.
It got traction.
Yes, traction, mm-hmm. traction. Mm-hmm. And after having slaved away at this for 10 years and having been legally extorted by the hosting companies, because for those of you who don't know, it's literally just Andy and myself who do this. And for the website, it was just me until I was able to coax you and convince you after much pleading to start writing with me.
But the technicalities stay in your lane. Yeah.
Well, for both of us, we have no technical knowledge of websites. I mean, most websites that have the number of followers we do and are the same size as us, they have a dedicated developer and person who can do all of this back end stuff that when you and I are faced with these problems, it's much like reading a passage of German. I have no idea what it says, what it means, the significance, no clue.
Yeah.
Even after 10 years of doing this, I have a good grasp on a lot of these things. You and I, for all of this, by the way, self-taught. We no technical knowledge, as you just said, on any of this stuff.
And so we continuously panic text each other anytime something weird happens. Even yesterday with the articles not showing up on the Facebook page.
Just
the weirdest.
It's very odd, but I appreciate and we appreciate all of the support that every one of you have given to us over these years. I can't tell you how much it means. Again, sitting here, starting this thing 10 years ago on a free Bluehost account with some of the worst layouts, basically, Andy, up until this past like 6-7 months, the website was kind of worked as well as like an old guy with ED, erectile dysfunction.
Yes.
When it mattered most, it just wasn't happening.
It failed,
ever. It failed. And the fact that so many of you, not even these past 6 months or even these, you know, this past year, but the fact that so many of you have been patient and have stuck around after moments where, again, I had no idea what I was doing, how to fix these things. Andy doesn't. I mean, Andy, you know, La Roma 24, okay? They have somebody dedicated to when the stuff hits the fan, okay, they can,
They have a team.
Yes, they have a tech team behind them all, and they can have the thing resolved in just moments.
Yeah.
Our tech team is Google and our new host, DreamHost, who I can't... This is not a sponsored, by the way. Okay. They have been phenomenal. I don't know how many of you are familiar with hosting, website hosting. Again, I started this out of the blue. I went with Bluehost in 2012 because it was the first thing that came up in Google. And then after, you know, feeling legally extorted by them for the last...
8-9 years?
Yes. I finally decided to make the move after...
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say how many thousands I can only imagine... have just been thrown to the wind to them to get the website to function and work even remotely properly. So having said all of that, I just want to thank everybody. Andy, I want to thank you because for like the first 100 and I don't know, probably even like 200 episodes, you did this just for nothing, for your free time. And
it was my
pleasure. The fact I was able to coax you into... doing this podcast and the website now with me, I mean, it's been great, man.
Before me, you had your wife writing articles sometimes.
Oh,
poor woman.
Roma Press staff, for those of you who don't, I love every time I select that. It's either Signore Solano or me just trying to make it look like we are a professional organization with others behind it.
Oh, my God.
But seriously, I can't thank you enough, Andy, man.
No, thank you, John. And we've probably recorded, I believe, like 50 or 60 more of these episodes. Remember at the beginning?
And they got lost into the archives.
Yes, we'd finish recording and we'd be like, oh, but something technically failed. Or, oh, it didn't record on my end. That's it. So it's been, you know, and you know, credit to you for just going through it, because I mean you've had this for a long, long time. I just only jumped on the podcast. I jumped on 4 years ago on the website a year ago, and it's been really good. But again, credit to you and credit to the people that listen and follow this, because at the end of the day, this is Roma. Okay, this is a team that delivers pain, disappointment, disillusion, false hope.
Yes.
You know, it's not easy to be exposed to this kind of content, these kinds of stories. How many ACLs have we had to report on the website? How many disappointing losses have we had to discuss on the podcast? That's, you know,
how many refereeing disaster
exactly.
classes this
we're
season
about
alone.
To get into one another, yes. into another one, but just credit for everybody, you know, accepting us and having fun along the way, despite everything that Roma have given us over the years.
Yes, truly. I just have to reiterate it. It really does mean a lot. And even at times when I made the mistake of listening to some of our older podcasts, I mean, the sound, the quality, you can really tell we were... not having much of a great grasp as to what the hell we were doing. So just the mere fact that so many of you have remained patient and just remained in general, truly, I cannot thank you enough. It truly does mean a lot. Especially, I mean, there's times when, you know, I'm staying awake, three in the morning talking to Bluehost, just trying to get the website back online. It was getting to the point where it's like, okay, what, you know, is this really worth it? But then these last 6 months, new host, new website layout, just about new everything. It's finally made the last like 10 years of toiling away and losing sleep. And it makes it worth it. So again, I know we spent 10 minutes like
that's good
all,
come on 300 episodes
schmoozy,
that's fine
but again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank everybody, and of course to our wonderful patrons at Patreon who even before and during before the move to the new website and the new layout, you guys willing to back us and ease the burden of getting raked over the burning coals by our web host to fix a problem that, again, if you're not technically familiar with this stuff, it just blows your mind, because you go to a website every single day, you just think, okay, well, I click there. The functionality behind all of it is still mind-blowing to me.
Scary.
All the pieces and parts. It's so scary. So scary. But the fact that, again, all of the patrons have stuck around with us. I can't tell you how much it means.
Audio quality through the weeks where an episode would drop, or another week where an episode wouldn't drop because of some technical issues.
Yes,
that was all there, and it's a really big credit to everybody for believing in us and also willing to exactly be patient. And also have a laugh, not take it too seriously. We're all trying. This is, you know, we try to make it fun, to be it, for it to be informative. But at the end of the day, it's about having fun. And, you know, that's probably the best thing, is that there is a community out there. There's these people who exchange things, exchange wishes, exchange photos, and anything goes. Everybody is on good terms with each other. That's really incredible to see that a website and a podcast dedicated to Roma, of all teams, Roma, could have, you know, generated this kind of audience, a wonderful audience.
It's mind blowing to me, again, just the amount of people who have been there throughout the years. It's so weird to me that I know. I know many, many, many of you, like, longer than I, you know, have known my own children, which is just a weird way of looking at things. But again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's open up to the depressing part now. Well, not depressing.
No.
Angry. I have a lot more energy today, for those of you who can't tell. You know, it takes me about at least 48 hours when I go in between time zones to finally feel like a human again. So, of course, I started feeling human during the match yesterday. And Di Bello, Andy, he never disappoints for Roma, ever. Or at least this season, he doesn't disappoint. It seems like every year there's one specific referee who either has it out for Roma,
Or is just plain incompetent whenever Roma play. And I think with Di Bello, it's just the sheer incompetence of... Notice how he's grown into, you know, one of the more veteran referees. And that tells you all you need to know about AIA, the Association of Referees in Italy, the quality of refereeing. Because a man like Di Bello gets assigned these big games and is completely incapable of providing consistent refereeing is just the absolute perfect depiction of the state of match officials in Italy.
It is. Now, if I recall correctly, because Roma have had so many of these refereeing disaster classes this season, it can be difficult to keep track of all of the guilty parties. But if I'm not mistaken, he was in charge of Milan, right? In October or no? Which one did... All I know is that he's been at fault multiple times.
Roma haven't won a game with him in 10 games. It's been 10 games without a win with Di Bello refereeing.
Oh.
So that doesn't, you know, I don't want to turn this into a conspiracy against Roma, because again, I just think that it's more about Di Bello being a crappy referee. I really do think that some of the lesser known referees in Serie A are better than these big name referees who show up and then fail to really provide consistency, which is what you want in these big games. And yesterday, it's a total lack of consistency, of making rush decisions and then, you know, being sloppy and giving a quick yellow card here and then failing to give another yellow card on a really dangerous foul.
The studs up. I guess I would love to hear the entire explanation and episode behind that. Now, it's a moment like this where I regret not having it. But if you remember, AIA, they said earlier this year that they would be open to releasing and broadcasting the conversations that happen behind the scenes. So for those of you who don't know, when they go to the VAR, there is like a, what do you call it? Like a VAR headquarters?
Yeah. Yeah. Office. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Right. There's like a central headquarters when they go to the VAR. It's in Milano, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
Everything is in Milano.
And they go back and forth between the VAR room and the referee, blah, 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 blah. It would have been fascinating to me to hear the conversation that was going back and forth. But the refereeing aside, let's get to that in a moment. So yesterday, really, again, in my opinion, it's a match of two halves. First half, clearly, I thought those first 20 minutes were really difficult for Roma. Ibanez was oof. Kumbula, do you put Kumbula in there ahead of him? I thought Ibanez really struggled yesterday.
I think that Ibanez was coming off a really good stretch, and I thought it would make sense, you know, to either rest him yesterday or against Inter. So I'm pretty sure we are going to see a change made with Kumbula slotting in, but it is worrisome that Ibanez has still this tendency to
brashness. Oof.
The brashness. He's not patient. He is not able to keep calm, especially in these opening minutes. That's the key point in most of the matches where we drop points against the big teams this season, is that Roma haven't been able to stay sharp from the get-go. That's why, say, the game against Lazio or the Atalanta one were pleasant surprises, because you had a Roma team that was sharp from the get-go, which is not a given. And yesterday, Roma once again commit a stupid mistake in the opening 20 minutes that then almost costs them 3 points. You could have, you know, this game, you could have easily imposed yourself and walked away with the 3 points. Instead, you had to settle for 1 point, even though you were by far the better side, and sort of except for that penalty, Napoli really did not create much of anything. I think, you know, I can only think of what the Osimhen shot on goal, which wasn't even on goal.
He didn't do anything all evening. He was so quiet.
Nobody did. And Roma were at it, and Roma definitely, you know, the team came out much better in the second half. But that's, again, the sort of the worrying trend, or at least something that will need to be looked at, and because it's not a, you know, it's not a mistake, it's not a one-off, it's something that happens. Roma do you know, remember that first derby where Roma first 15 minutes, 2 goals conceded, again, stupid mistakes.
Right.
The same thing yesterday, you know, within 20 minutes, you're down 1 goal, you're already, you know, you're playing away against a tough crowd, against a difficult opponent, and you are in a disadvantaged position. You can't allow yourself to, so when Smalling has that kind of game where he's absolutely perfect, I really expect somebody like Ibanez to show more maturity. And I think in these instances, in these types of games, he has it. I think Kumbula has definitely shown more under that aspect of Kumbula is clearly a guy who is trying to learn from mistakes. And Ibanez is someone who is still sort of all over the place sometimes, and lets the emotions get the best of him, because yesterday what he does on Lozano is really something that is just so avoidable, that without that, Napoli have nothing. Yesterday they had nothing. Spalletti did nothing. No solutions. His one solution off the bench was Juan Jesus. That tells you all you need to know. So it was really a game for the taking. That's why we probably hear and we sound a bit disappointed, even though it was a really good performance. It's because Roma could have won this, should have won this.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they absolutely. I mean, I tweeted out. I tweeted out based on the second half alone, Roma could have won. But I probably should have worded it. They should have won. I thought Roma were so far superior to Napoli, particularly again in that second half. I mean, after the initial 20 minutes, I thought Roma were by far the better side. Napoli, really, as you said, they didn't create much. I thought particularly as well, they suffered when Laborca came off. It really seemed like once he came off, Roma went to another gear. They were already better, but once he came off, I felt like Roma were, they went from being better to being significantly better than Napoli. And again, you don't want to, because there are some things, again, Ibanez, that brash challenge. And if we want to talk about the refereeing mistakes, I mean, I can't believe that wasn't awarded initially, if we're being quite honest. Mm-hmm. I was pretty surprised that it took the intervention of VAR to correct that. But again, you can't solely blame it on the referee, but there's no doubting that the referee, once again, plays a huge part in this. And it just makes you all the more annoyed because Juve somehow get bailed out in the dying seconds by Vlahovic. And if Roma had won, you gain 2 more points on Juve.
God damn it. Yeah,
whereas now obviously you simply keep things as they were.
Yeah.
Now, having said that though, I thought yesterday was, again, putting aside the refereeing mistakes, I thought there was so much to be positive about. I can't think of, beyond Ibanez, at least in my opinion, there wasn't really one terrible or one bad performance.
No.
Maybe Oliveira was a little bit below, but I was watching Karsdorp yesterday and I thought, this guy is unbelievable. I mean, oof. He was good. Zaniolo was good. By the way, I don't know what it's going to take for him to receive a penalty. I don't.
And for him not to receive a yellow card.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the most egregious one was, again, the studs up was, I mean, if he connects.
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking at a broken leg for sure. That episode surely is the one that sticks out to me. It is surprising, obviously, that it took them so long to find the goal. Now, if you look at the XG, again, depending on the website that you're on, I'm currently on understat.com. Roma, they ended with 1.35. Napoli, 1.30. I don't know
which
how
includes
Napoli uses that
it,
high.
No, it includes the penalty. That's it. That's the only reason why this is, I think, the first game in a long while in the league that has the Roma's opponent higher than 1xG. It's because of that stupid penalty.
Yes, and their penalties account for, it's under 1, but I think it's like 0.7 or 0.8 of an xG. So 1.3 minus 1, I mean, I'm terrible at the maths, but,
but
you guys understand. Basically, half a goal was their xG, and that just, for me, that tells the entire story. The other story is my man, Stefan El Shaarawy.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, I have been wrong on a lot of things on this podcast. Basically, anytime I utter the words David Pizarro, I have come to realize that that is somehow a curse I will never utter his name again. I will have to dive back into the history of Roma to find a better comparison. Okay,
it's basically like me saying Jolly. Once the player is a Jolly, that player is dead.
So El Shaarawy has been nothing short of just disappointing, to put it mildly, since he came back
to Roma
from Shanghai. Now, I don't know what it is. Maybe he got hooked on the cuisine.
But he's so weird. He's such a weird player,
man. It's so weird. It's because I think you and I both said he is like exactly the player Roma needed last season.
And in the opening to the season, he was great. Like
He
was great. He was there. Then he constantly kept injuring himself. Then he has these... that's his whole career. He has these stretches of nothingness. Then he has these moments where, exactly, he pulls something out of his backside like that. He saves you. He gives you a second chance. You believe in him and rinse and repeat.
Well, and then, I mean, we have to appreciate him paying homage to, how do I put this mildly? How do I put this delicately? The fact that he was the one to score the winner, or I'm sorry, the goal to draw level in injury time at the newly renamed Diego Maradona Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, livello of irony is very high, is all I can say. And I will allow everybody else to guess why. But it was here's what I can say. If Roma ever find themselves playing in the Stadio Pablo Escobar.
Oh, come on.
Guess who's going to score a hat trick?
You have something against his brother, man. I'm convinced his brother doesn't return your texts. I don't know what's up, but you have clearly an agenda against El Shaarawy.
No agenda whatsoever. All I can say is that there's a particular irony that I can appreciate that he was the one to score the goal. But I'm not complaining. It was nice of him to pay homage. But I have to say, though, that the goal aside, because I thought he placed it perfectly, it looks like, to the untrained eye, in my opinion, that would be a pretty straightforward goal because he's
not. It wasn't.
Man, that was placed like by the millimeter perfect.
The run up felt endless. Like, Pellegrini with that ball, and that ball just slowly drifts to Gian, and Gian just slowly taps it back to Abraham, and then Abraham just lightly taps it to El Shaarawy, and then he runs up to it and it just takes forever, but it's a really difficult shot. He has defenders in front of him, and it's at a crucial point in time, you know. But again, this is all El Shaarawy. This is such a odd player. I don't know how to take him anymore, because, you know, the guy is 29 years old, makes a lot of money, all things considered, you know,
three and a half net. Yeah. That is a lot.
After returning from China, he makes a lot of money.
Fourth highest paid player at Roma, by the way.
This is his, third or fourth goal in the league. Again, he had a great start to the season. Mourinho was consistently relying on him off the bench, and he was consistently one of the better players off the bench. Then he would go down with an injury, and he's missed quite a few games with these injuries that have caused him problems throughout the campaign. And now again, you find yourself in a position where this match is so important, and the way we went to secure this point feels so great, because I do think that this game once again shows that we're on the right path. You know, whatever you might think of this Roma, whatever you might think of the way this Roma team plays under Mourinho, his decision making, blah 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 blah, there is evidently progress being made over these last few months, and I think this game was another brick in the wall. You know, another sign that we are doing certain things right. There are certain things that we're doing wrong, like conceding that stupid goal, but the just how the team approached this match right after the Bodo game is nothing short of amazing in my eye, considering where we started where we started, where this team was, where this team, after, remember, after those opening, what, 6-7 games where the team was unbeaten and the team was playing well and everybody was scoring goals and left and right. And then there was a big slump. Mourinho was getting on at the players. The players looked, you know, almost uncomfortable on the pitch. Now, you constantly have a sense that this team is fighting. You constantly have a sense that this team can pull off something till the very end. You constantly have the sense that this team is focused, that there is an immense amount of effort put into each game, that this team is trying the best to not play sloppy football. And the goals that they score are really beautiful. I mean, if you go over the last few games and the goals we score,
they are, yeah, the action, the build-up is incredible.
Incredible. You know, you think of Sampdoria, Bodo yesterday. It's a whole string of games where the goals are not just accidents. They are carefully planned out. It's a team effort. This and then you see it from Mourinho, from his words, from his on the pitch stuff, from the way the players respond to him, that this team is going places, that it is learning to react in a way that fulfills the demands of the coach. So it's great to see. Going back to El Shaarawy, I don't know what you do with him. I just don't think that he's a player that Roma will be betting on in the future, just because of how just uneven he is. And
this wouldn't be a conversation if he was on 1.5 or 2 million net, but you can't have the guy among your top 4 or 5 highest earners.
Yeah. Yeah. With that, with the minutes he's played with his output, it's, and again, with the age, you know, the player that left Roma had the season that he had his best season was the worst season at Roma. I remember it was 2018-2019. Yes. He was excellent then because nobody else could do anything right. He was really our only bright spot in a crappy season. He had more goals than anybody else. He was really convincing. I think he even played with the captain's armband in a game or two. And then he moved to China. Since being back, he hasn't given much to this team, not the way we expect him. We expect him to be sort of almost like a veteran, right? He's one of those guys that sort of can transmit this sense of belonging to Roma, this effort. There is always effort in El Shaarawy's game. He's always there doing his best, but I don't think it's enough. And yesterday was a great moment for him, but I do think that this will be one of those sort of highlight reels that we'll soon be seeing, because he's one of those players that in my view, Roma should not and should not bet long term if they want to improve. This is, you know, it's Roma have, as Mourinho said, they found a way to resolve games with players off the bench. Last time out it was Carles Perez. Previously it had been Felix. Now yesterday was El Shaarawy. Sometimes Zaniolo if he starts off the bench. So Roma have found a way. It's still, I don't think the bench is up to it. There is clearly, you know, yesterday we with Carles Perez, the decision making that he has is shocking. The bench is certainly an aspect that can be improved, because yesterday we could have won. Even after the equalizer, Roma put themselves in situations where they could have scored the winner. But that just shows you that there are shortcomings that just don't depend on Mourinho, don't depend on the players that we have at disposal. Just they are not up to it. It's not, you cannot sometimes put yourself in a position where you have to rely on Felix or you have to rely on Carles Perez. Carles Perez gives you the equalizer against Salernitana. He's not gonna give you the winner against Napoli. That's the difference. Those are the limitations that Roma will have to face in the summer. But for now, this is my long-winded answer of saying that for me, this game was just another solid performance that adds up to the really good and convincing stretch of games that Roma have had in the league so far.
Yeah, and we will be back later in the week. We'll preview more about Inter, who played today in the Coppa Italia against Milan. I guess just initially, again, we'll have a much better idea after tonight. I mean, if somebody gets injured, if they look poor, obviously our opinions will change. What is your initial thoughts or reaction to this? Because if there's one team that Roma have just struggled against the entire season, it's Inter. Now, having said that, I guess my caveat to that would be all of those matches came before, because it's two in the league, Coppa Italia. Both of those matches came before Roma came into this period of theirs where they are clearly at a different level. So does that give you any hope that they can get anything from this one?
Well, it certainly this is... I do think that both teams are in a completely different moment. Inter are slowly picking themselves up after really a disappointing couple of months in the league, where they seemed like they could not put, you know, could not do anything right, and they've almost lost the Scudetto, almost. Then now they hit a good stretch. I do think they had a nice calendar to facilitate that return to in the standings. But I do think that this Roma is different. Inter are different. The energy around both teams is completely different. For Roma, the challenge is the effort, the energy, the amount of fatigue that might set in, because you're looking at playing Bodo, playing Napoli, now Inter, and then Leicester, and it's all in a span of not even 2 weeks. And you're playing, as Mourinho said, with a team that is heavily reliant on a guy like Mkhitaryan, who is 34 years of age. You know, you have players that are there and are playing incredibly well, but at the same time, it's taking a toll on them. I do like my chances. I will say that again. I do like my chances going into the San Siro now, just in terms of the type of performance that I want to say. Not even from a result standpoint, because I don't want to make predictions regarding that. I do think that whenever you go out of your way and play at the San Siro, and especially against the team that is outside of a team like Inter now that are sort of found their way back into it, and it's always going to be difficult. But I do think that Roma are still gonna play the way they played against Napoli. Meaning the amount of effort they're gonna put in is gonna be similar. Just because I do think that the loss against Inter, the 3-0 loss, is probably the worst loss we've suffered this season so far, just in terms of how defeated the team looked. And you can again rest assured that Mourinho will remind them of it, because he knows that this team is better now. He knows that this team can respond to that more adequately now. And it's going to be different. It's going to be heated. You're always going to be not deemed the favorite when you go to the San Siro, but it's also going to be an important match for the Conference League, just because it's once again, it's can you hang in there with the big boys? You know, can you do this? And Roma so far have shown a tendency the second time around to respond affirmative, you know, to be, yes, we can do this. We'll certainly try our best. And I think that when it comes to Inter, the one trick that might give you the advantage is to out-hustle them, outrun them, outwork them. Inter are a lazy team under Inzaghi. For the most part, this is for me the biggest difference compared to the Inter under Antonio Conte. They have quality players, but they can be outworked because they get comfortable. It all depends on how they face in the Coppa Italia. It all depends on how they prepare and how Roma respond to that in terms of effort. But I do think that when it comes to work rate, Roma are right in there.
Yeah, definitely. I think, again, this is a much different Roma than the one that previously faced Inter in the two matches when they met before the turn of the new year and then just after. Okay, everybody, that is where we will leave it. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support throughout all of the years, all of the episodes. We truly appreciate it, and we look forward to continuing this. Clearly, we are all, the fact that we keep doing this together, we are gluttons for punishment, or we've done something in a previous life. The fact we're willing to subject ourselves to this willingly. I'm just glad that we can, again, sort of do this. This is more or less like our group therapy, right? I mean, we've all suffered. We come here, we complain, we moan, we whinge, we celebrate. The fact that you guys come back here and trust us to be, I guess, the voice of the, we're like the Dr. Melfi, yeah? I guess in some way.
Oh my God, okay.
Well, there's a way that can go off the rails very quickly, so never mind. I'm just going to end it because I don't know how I can recover from that metaphor. All right, everybody, we will be back later in the week. Again, thank you so much for your support and for tuning in, and we will talk to you in a few days. Ciao.
Ciao.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Clear communication is key to a successful renovation. Keep the customer informed at every stage of the project, addressing any concerns or questions promptly to maintain trust and satisfaction. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.